Great to be able to come together and sing praises to God, and it's a beautiful day today. I'm sorry that Ted isn't able to be back with us yet. I hope his recovery is still going well and be back soon. And Mary, we are concerned she's in the hospital this weekend with low sodium, and hopefully she will be able to get that corrected and be back home in a day or two. But we're happy to see all of you. Glad you can be here together with us today. Most people who believe in the Bible agree that we must believe in order to be saved. We must have faith in Jesus Christ. And also believe and agree that we are to repent of our sins and turn away from them, and to show through our lives that our lives are changed as we live the Christian life. There's no real disagreement about those things in the among those who believe the Bible. But why is it that when we come to the subject of baptism, there is such controversy and such disagreement on that subject? The Bible is written to be understood. It's not written for scholarly intellectuals that debate the doctrine of Scripture. It's written for common people like all of us to be able to read it, to understand what God's will is for our lives. God loves us. He wants us to be saved. He's given us His Word. And He wants us each one to study and read the Bible and know for ourselves what His will is. So why is it when we come to the subject of baptism, God speaks of baptism so many times? There are many passages as we look into the New Testament. And as we pointed out last week, the Old Testament, there's no mention of baptism at all, but when we come to the New Testament, it is just mentioned so many times that it becomes an important part of Jesus and the part of His teaching. And in the book of Acts, the teaching of the apostles, so many references here made to baptism. And I would ask each of us the simple question that when God repeats something over and over again, isn't that something that we should pay special attention to? I realize that the Bible can mention something maybe just one time, and it's still the inspired Word of God. But when we find something that is being repeated again and again and again, that stands out as something that is significant, something that we need to really pay attention to. And when it comes to baptism, and we begin to look into the passages and verses that mention baptism in the New Testament, what do we find? What begins to stand out there? What kind of words do we find that whenever the Bible mentions baptism, what other words are mentioned in association with it that seem to go together with it? Well, there's a number of them that stand out there. One of them, of course, is water. That whenever we read about baptism, many times the word water comes up. It's water baptism, baptism in water. And forgiveness, there's mention of many times associated with forgiveness when baptism is mentioned in the Scripture. And the Holy Spirit is mentioned a number of times in connection with baptism, or our spirit, and burial. All of these things, we come to see that there's a pattern that God helps to explain baptism and its importance by putting these other words there and repeating them a number of times so that we begin to see Well, that's important. That's something God is putting the emphasis to so that we can understand what baptism means and what the importance of it is. But, you know, when we really look into baptism, the thing that stands out more than any other as far as being associated with baptism is Jesus Himself. And whenever you look into the New Testament and begin to notice how many times when God mentions baptism, He mentions Jesus in that same verse. And for example, in Matthew 28, in the Great Commission that Jesus gave there, where He says, "Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We see Jesus referred to there in that as baptism in the name of Jesus. And more specifically, when we come into the book of Acts, and Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." We see that there again, and in the name of the Lord, that we are told that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 16, for example, that we are to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And also in Acts 19 and verse 5, there is mention made that when we are baptized, we're baptized into Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. And I'm not going to read all of those, but I'm just pointing out the number of times that you find baptism and Jesus that are so closely mentioned together in so many passages here. It also speaks in Romans chapter 6, for example, that we're baptized into the death of Jesus. Baptized into His death and then raised with Him in newness of life. And in Colossians 2 and verse 12, buried with Him in baptism. In Galatians 3:27, "As many of you as have been baptized into Christ," he says, "have put on Christ." Well, it mentions Christ twice there in that same verse associated with baptism. Baptized into Christ, we put on Christ in as we're being baptized. And baptized into the one body, the body of Christ. So, not only that, we are raised up with Jesus when we are baptized. So think about all of these verses. We're saved. Peter says God has saved us through baptism in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He mentions right after that. All of these verses then, more than any other thing that baptism is connected with and associated with, is connected with Jesus. And which tells us something very important about baptism, I believe, that the most important thing that God emphasizes when he speaks about baptism is that baptism has to do with Jesus. And that oftentimes it is in the name of Jesus. So what does that mean exactly? Why is that important? What is the significance of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ? Well, in order to see that, the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 gives us some help with that to help us to see what did it mean back in those days went to be baptized in someone's name. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he speaks to the Corinthians about a situation here that as he was writing this letter, he had heard something that he was very concerned about happening among them at the time, that he said, "It has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, and the next few verses is what I'm reading from here. It has been declared to me that there are contentions among you. And he says, "Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ." So he was rebuking the Corinthians here for being followers, claiming to be followers of anyone other than Jesus. And he points out to them that he asks these three questions here in verse 13. He says, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Now his point is that no, you weren't. You weren't baptized. Paul wasn't crucified for you. Christ is not divided. But by taking on these names the way they were doing, and some saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ," they were claiming that that person was the one they were following. That if they were saying, "I am of Paul," isn't that saying, "I am following the teaching of Paul. Paul is the one who died for me. Paul is the one that I am seeking to be his disciple." And we shouldn't be doing that. You don't want to be saying you are following the teaching of Paul. You're following the teaching of Jesus. So why name yourself? Why claim yourself in the name? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. And should not be using that type of language. But that question that he's asking there, it tells us what it meant to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That when we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that's saying that we are his followers. We are his disciples. We are following his teaching. And so don't claim to be a follower of Paul. You weren't baptized in the name of Paul. If you were, then you would call yourself, "I'm a follower of Paul." But you're Christians. Point is that in Bible times, to be baptized in someone's name, it meant you were a follower of that teacher. You were a follower of that person. And you're lining yourself up with that teacher instead of someone else. So when people were baptized, for example, in the name of John the Baptist, or if they were in John's baptism, they were following John's teaching. And we talked about that some last week in the lesson, that the baptism of John. John came baptizing in the Jordan River, and his baptism was different from the baptism of Jesus. Well, when people were following John's baptism, they were committing themselves to follow John's teaching. And what was John teaching? He was teaching them to prepare themselves. One was coming after him, greater than he was. He was pointing the way to Jesus. But many people were being baptized the baptism of John, which was for the remission of sins, we're told. But it was different from the baptism of Jesus. Those baptized in Christ's name were committing themselves to following Christ's teaching. So Paul is correcting the Corinthians here for a misuse of that, claiming to be of Paul, claiming to be of Apollos. What it means is, you're claiming to be that person's follower. And the one that we are to be following is Jesus Christ. Now he also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, is another example of what I'm saying, being baptized into the name of. Here he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that the Israelites were baptized into Moses. He said, "Brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Well, he's using somewhat of a figurative language here, because were the Israelites actually baptized? Well, no. But they came out from Egypt, they went through the Red Sea, and they were baptized into Moses. So when they passed through the water of the Red Sea, and the cloud was over them, he is making that analogy that they were baptized into Moses. They were committing themselves to be followers of Moses. To Moses was leading them to the promised land. So they were baptized into Moses. We're baptized into Christ. So what does that tell us? We are followers of Jesus. And this is why John's disciples, I think, were jealous when they heard that Jesus was baptizing disciples. And in John 3 and verse 26, some of John's disciples came and pointed out, or they said to John, "He who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." Well, John immediately corrected that. John said, "He must increase, I must decrease." So John understood that was what was supposed to be happening. But his disciples, seeing this, here's Jesus over here is baptizing. What does that say? That says he's making disciples after him now, rather than you. And they are thinking that's wrong, that we should do something about that, we should correct that. And John says, no, that's exactly what's supposed to happen. But again, it points out that when a person is being baptized, you're committing to follow that person's teachings. You're uniting with that teacher. You're following. You're becoming a follower of Jesus when you are baptized. And so it is. Now, when we look at Matthew 28, that, by the way, whenever we see that happening, that John the Baptist was teaching the baptism of John, but then Jesus began teaching and making disciples. Well, we see that Jesus was teaching people to be followers of him. And so he was teaching Christ's baptism there from the beginning, even though he had not yet died on the cross. He was not teaching to follow after the teaching of John. He was teaching people to follow him. Just as we're saying, that being baptized, you are connecting with that teacher and with his teaching. But in Matthew 28 and verse 18 through 20, when Jesus here gave the Great Commission, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So there are three things here that Jesus points out. That how do you become a follower of Jesus? How did people become a follower of Jesus? Well, first of all, they were taught about Jesus, to follow him, to be his disciples. Second, they were baptized, and then they were taught to follow his teachings. Jesus then lays out here how people become followers of Jesus. And there's teaching, and then there's baptism, and then there's more teaching that is to take place in order for us to be connected with Jesus, to follow after Him. So as we look into the teaching of the apostles then, I think it becomes clear that when the apostles were teaching that we were to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that they are teaching that this is going to unite you with Christ. By being baptized, you are being united with Christ. You are His disciples. You are His followers. You're baptized in His name. And so on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Now, that forgiveness of sins, we will address that more later as we get further into discussing, talking about baptism and the study of what the Bible teaches about baptism. But one of the basic things that is obvious, I think, is people were uniting with Jesus to be His followers when they were baptized. They were committing themselves to follow His teaching. And His teaching that He had given, some of it in the Sermon on the Mount, some of it when He was asked the question, what are the two great commandments in the law? And He said, to love God with all your heart, to love your neighbor as yourself. And we can see what He taught in the Sermon on the Mount, to live a godly life, to control our thoughts, to love our neighbor. His teaching is given through the Gospels, as we look into that. By following Jesus and being baptized, we're committing to following His teachings. So by the time the apostles were preaching, now not only were they connecting with His teaching, but also with the blessings. Because when Jesus was here on earth and was baptizing people, He had not yet died and been raised from the dead. But in the book of Acts, He had. He now had died and had been raised from the dead, ascended up into heaven, was at the right hand of God. And now, when they were being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, there were the blessings that they were uniting with. They were able to be receiving and experiencing those blessings that Jesus had made available to us through His death on the cross. So it wasn't just committing to His teachings, it's also being able to be united with His blessings that has been accomplished by His death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. Apostles were asking people to change their lives, to repent, and to believe in Jesus Christ, to be baptized in the name of Christ. So that was uniting them with Jesus in His blessings, in His teachings, committing to following Him. Baptism is a way for people then to be saying, I stand with Jesus. I am one of His followers. I believe in what He has done, who He is. I want to follow Him. That is what you are clearly saying. And people then began living for Jesus. Acts chapter 2, when we read about those 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost, verse 41, Acts chapter 2, he says, "Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Continuing daily with one accord, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So people, by being baptized, they united themselves with Jesus to be His followers, to live for Him, follow His teaching. That's what baptism says. Whenever we are baptized into Christ, we're associating ourselves in the name of Jesus Christ, uniting ourselves with Him, His disciples, His followers. And when we commit to become a follower of Jesus, we unite with the blessings that He has made available, made possible through His death on the cross. One of the questions then for each person is, am I ready to make this commitment to Jesus Christ? Am I prepared to make the commitment to Jesus Christ? Because there is a commitment that I am making. When I am baptized, I am committing to follow Jesus, to live for Him, to accept His teachings. Jesus talks about the fact in Luke chapter 14 and Luke chapter 9 that we need to count the cost. Each person needs to count the cost. That are we willing to carry through with this commitment? It's not something to make lightly. It's not something to just on the emotion of that say, I want to be baptized. I want to. There's a commitment that we make when we are baptized. I'm wanting to follow Jesus. I follow His teaching. I'm going to live my life that as He would direct me to live my life. So there's a commitment in that. And there are many times people began to make excuses. As Jesus talked about, one man said, I would like to follow you, but I need to go and bury my father. Various excuses that people were making. So we need to be ready to make a commitment when we are baptized. It is a serious commitment that a person makes. God has given us an action that once we have become a follower of Jesus Christ, we can always look back to that and remember, when did you become a follower of Jesus? And He doesn't base it upon just a feeling that we have burning inside or some feeling that comes over us. That's not what our becoming a follower of Jesus isn't based on a feeling. It's based on an action. I became a follower of Jesus when I was baptized. I committed myself in that to follow Him. And the good thing about that is we can always look back at that. And we can say, I know exactly when I became a follower of Jesus Christ. The day I was baptized. And my life has changed. I have lived to that commitment. That's what my life is about. Not perfectly. And we know that we will all stumble and with weakness. But we made a commitment to Jesus Christ the day we were baptized that we would follow Him. There's a lot of controversy about baptism in the religious world today. Much of it, I think, not necessary if we would each of us study the Bible and look into the Bible. What does the Bible say about baptism? What does it associate with that? One thing that's very clear, that when a person is baptized, they are committing their life following Jesus Christ. They're uniting with Him. Not with Paul, not with Apollos, not with some other teacher. I'm connecting my life with Jesus Christ. I'm His follower from this day forward. And so there's a blessing that comes with that. And we will look at those blessings as we continue our study. But this morning, if you're here, the question, are you ready to to make that commitment in your life if you haven't done so. But if you have done so, are you faithful to that commitment? Are you still living faithfully to that commitment you made when you were baptized into Christ to follow Him? Because we need to be faithful to that commitment throughout our life. If there's anyone here today that is subject to the invitation of Jesus to come and be baptized, we welcome you to do that, to make that commitment. If there are those who need prayer, any reason in your life for you as you live for Jesus, need us to help you and pray with you, we welcome you to come and we will pray with you and for you. So if there's anyone subject to that invitation, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing together.
When we walk with the Lord, in the